So in February of 08, I went with Engineering Ministries International. And I don't know if some of you guys may have met Bob when he was here that talked a little bit about what AMI is. And if you don't know, you can ask me later. Too much time going into that now. So we went there to design a church and a school facility in a small village called Kukra Hill. And this was my sixth trip to Nicaragua. I think three of those were to help design buildings for this particular ministry. And they're just having this amazing outreach on their community. So I'm going to give you a little background about the ministry, kind of let you guys know a little bit about what, you know, Touchstone's going to get involved with to go and help these guys. Vital is the man. He's from Haiti. Ketli is his wife. She's from the Dominican Republic. He courted her for, I don't know, 6 or 7 years before she finally agreed to at least even date him. So they've been married, and they are missionaries full-time now in Nicaragua. I better stick to my notes here. So they have a plan that their organization does. They go for 4 years at a time into a country, and they establish a church. They set up everything they need to raise up the leader of that church. They train the pastors. They begin the whole body of it. And they do this for 4 years. They take a year off, and then they go to another country, and they start again. Well, God really had better plans for them, because 12 years later, they're still in Nicaragua. And their ministry is growing. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. If you want anything that will ever change your faith, the first time we walked onto the property that they had in Nicaragua, there was nothing except an empty swimming pool that wasn't really right. And to come back there 7 years later now and see what has gone on without great faith, I mean, you just don't get to the point that these guys are at. So this church, their first church they did is in a town called Bluefields. And you can show the map here, Steve. So this is Bluefields right here. And Managua, the capital, is right over here. And Kukra Hill doesn't quite make the map. It's a little bit up the river, right about in here. A while back, we went up to Hollover, which is up in here. We'll be up in here somewhere, up the river a little ways. There are no roads to Bluefields. The only way to get there is by boat or plane, small plane, even smaller boat. And, I mean, not like a nice boat, like one with a little, you know, outboard motor on the back. And same with Kukra Hill, and same with Hollover. There are no roads to get there. So, yeah, a couple of you have been on that boat. A few of you have prayed for the boat to not sink.
Oh, surely.
But, yeah, of the four times I've been on the boat, it was only going to sink that one time we happened to be there. So, don't let that worry you. The boat won't sink. So, there's about 49,000 people in Bluefields. I mean, you'd think there'd be a road to it, but no such luck. So, children who live on the east coast of Nicaragua there, typically, the education system there only gets them to a sixth grade education by the time they're high school age. So there's a huge gap there in getting children educated. And so Vital and Ketli, their whole vision for the whole church and the ministry and how they were going to serve the community was to bridge that gap and get the kids to a 12th grade education by the time they're high school age. So they started before and after school church programs where the kids come in the morning or the kids come in the afternoon, and they supplement their education and get them to that high school level. And in addition to that, they have, you know, some discipleship classes, and they learn the gospel while they're there. And then the kids' families, you know, they all want to know why the kids are so happy there, and they all come. And so this church has just grown amazingly. So what's the next picture? I'm already up. So this is the home that Pastor Vital and Ketli had. And they started their after-school program in their home. And within like a year and a half, they had 150 kids enrolled in this program and just completely outgrew that little home. In fact, you would go, before we had the building, the first building built, literally all day long there was just kids standing there at the gate waiting to get in to learn. They'd come to class, you know, hours early just to make sure they got in because they were that excited to learn. So they quickly outgrew their home. The church service didn't fit in the home anymore. Everything, it just was time to expand. So that's when EMI went down there the first time to design this building. And that's random. What's after that, Steve?
That's James there, January 3.
There it is. Ignore the random picture. So this was the very first building that EMI designed, and then we had like a week and a half, and we put all the plans together, which is similar to what we just did in Kukra Hill. We put all the plans together, we handed them to a construction team in the airport as we were leaving, and they were coming, and construction started, I mean, literally the next day. And it poured. I mean, I heard the torrential downpour that happened the next day was incredible. They were digging these, you know, 3-foot by 3-foot holes for the foundation, and they were bailing as fast as they were digging the mud of these holes. So there's the first building. That's the church and the multi-purpose building. There's four classrooms in it. There's a computer lab. There's a big area in the middle where they held church service, and that's where all the kids now come to go to school. So that was that. So if you go backwards to that random picture, about 6 months after we had done the plans, I went back down to help work on the building and work on their swimming pool and stuff like that. That's what you see here. And to give you guys a bit of an idea of what construction is like in Nicaragua, here we would just buy pipe with holes in it for the sewer system. But in Nicaragua, it's a whole lot cheaper to pay a guy a dollar for a day to sit there and drill holes. Or you can get the free American guy to do it for a while, too. So you'll do a lot more labor than you will just buying the pre-made things. and you'll get this nice little drill that died about 5 times ago and keeps getting resurrected.
Probably still using it today.
All right, so it took them about a year to build that building that you see there. And the building that we just designed in Kukri Hill is very, very similar to that one, although it's bigger. They're going to have about 10 classrooms in it, and I'll get into the why it's bigger. There's a pretty good vision there, and there's some changes going on in Kukri Hill town. So in addition to this building, the next need that they really saw in town was that the biggest form of employment is for the parents to work on cruise ships. There's a port nearby, Bluefields, and the cruise ships will actually stop there and pick up all the people. And they set out to sea for 9 months at a time. And they literally just, the kids just kind of roam. I mean, the parents are just gone for 9 months at a time. I mean, little kids. They'll leave them with a relative or something, but the relatives don't have the finances to care for these extra kids. And so the kids just suffer. I mean, they get in trouble in town. They, you know, it's just a bad scene. So their next vision was to provide housing for these kids, and they didn't want to build a square orphanage that just was cold. They wanted to build a home, and they wanted to get parents in those homes that could disciple these children and give them a good life. So EMI went back and we designed these two buildings. That's one of them. They're called Safe Harbor, is the name of the buildings. And the kids come there and they live there for those 9 months of the year. They go through all the school programs. They go through discipleship classes. They attend church. And, I mean, it's an amazing change in these kids' lives. It was really cool to walk back onto the site and see the kids in the building after we had been there to design them the first time, and just to meet those kids. I mean, you know, their lives are forever changed. So this gives, starting to give you a bit of a scope of the faith of this ministry that's there. I mean, they have a vision, and they have the faith to see this come to pass. And when I first walked on the site, like I said, it was a big grass area. It was just mud. I mean, it just, there was nothing out there. It was amazing to see that change. So they also have, you can go to the next picture there. This is just some more of the church grounds. They have a swimming pool. That was the very first thing they built. Planning. I don't, you know, it's an amazing outreach to the kids. All the kids in the community come and hang out at the church. And before they open the church, they all sit. There's bleachers underneath that little metal roof there. All the kids sit on those bleachers there, and they get about a 15, 20-minute little sermon from the pastor each day. And then the pool opens, and off the kids go. And, I mean, every kid in town hangs out here every day of the week, all day. It's the place in town to be. There's no better place. So, skipping forward now to 2008 and you guys. About 45 minutes up the river, I think the next one's a map. I already showed you kind of up that river there, is this little village called Kukri Hill. That's how you get up the river. This is a little boat. So if you're planning on bringing, like, you know, welders and, I don't know, whatever your must-have tool is, it's got to fit on that. Give you an idea. So it takes about 45 minutes on that little thing to get up to this town of Kukri Hill. Now, Kukri Hill is quite a bit smaller. It's a population of maybe 13,000 people. But everything's about to change there because they've just connected Kukri Hill to Managua with a road, which they had never had before. And they've also built a palm oil plant. And so there are lots of job opportunities now, and there's a road to the biggest city in Nicaragua. So they're anticipating everybody, not just the church, they're all anticipating Kukri Hill to just kind of boom, like, real fast. The other thing is voodoo has just really gotten popular in this particular little town. There are no other churches in there, in the town. There is one school there, but it's, I mean, you could hardly even call it a school. It's pretty bad. So the vision to expand into Kukri Hill is, I mean, it's well needed. They've raised up the pastoral staff to do it. They have everybody in place. They just need to get the buildings done. So they've rented this building here in town, which happens to be the old movie theater. They don't use it for that anymore. But they hold church service in there now, and they've already started their before and after school program in the building. I can't remember how many kids they had already set up, but I'm guessing it was quite a few because we had, there was probably 150 kids hanging around while we were there, and all of them seemed to know the pastors and everybody else. So I don't know that they're all enrolled, but there's a lot of kids running around already. So they've already outgrown this building. They've only had it for a very short time, and they already don't fit in there. So give you an idea how fast this one's taken off. So we came back to design that new building, and the part that involves you is now it needs to get built. It's all designed. It's ready to go. They just need people to help. And on that first building in Bluefields, I think over the year time it took to build, I can't remember how many teams they had, but it was over 40 different teams come through at different times. Some were there for a week. Some were there for months. I mean, just a huge range. And everything from skilled labor to unskilled labor. I mean, you know, people that just swept and kept the place clean, people that dug, people that could carry heavy things, people with knowledge and knew how to do stuff. I mean, it was an amazing, you know, God just provided the right people at the right time and as construction went on. So, just keep going there, Steve. So this is the land. Now, the mayor in Kukra Hill, when he heard about the church was interested in moving to Kukra Hill, he knows what went on in Bluefields. He knows how amazing the site is and the effect they're having on the community. He wants that in his village, of course. So he donated all this land, and sorry, I'm not a photographer, but that little building on the back is the guardhouse, and that is the church built that so they could start putting supplies out there and somebody could live out there so the supplies don't get stolen. So that's the land. I mean, it's this perfect plot of flat land. Literally, it's like town is right on the other side of this dirt road. So it looks like it's in the middle of nowhere, but it's not. It's just that's the way town's growing, and so they're the next, you know, piece of the growing. So that's where this new building's going to go. Keep going there, Steve. This is, that's there, the land behind him there. The guy in the middle there is named Hoel, I can't say it, Hoel. We call him Joel. That was his recommendation. Yeah. He got tired of his butchering his name, I think. The first time I went there 7 years ago, I met him, and he was just starting seminary, and he was just starting to, you know, to deliver a few sermons at church, and now he's the one pastoring the church there in Kukra Hill. 7 years later, and he is going to be the pastor of this new facility that we're building there. And amazing guy. He's, you know those people. You meet those people, and you just go, "Wow, what's wrong with me? How come these guys are?" He's one of them. So keep going, Steve. So this is kind of a little artist rendition of what the front of the building is going to look like. I mean, this is a big building. I think it's 8,000 square feet. Not a small task, but the faith and the vision that this ministry has, they don't like small tasks anyway. And the Lord, and I, he's just always, he's blessed this ministry amazingly over the years, and I can't wait to see this one go up. Keep going there, Steve. What's next? So this is kind of the site plan of what they're going to do over the years. It's kind of the vision. One of the things they lacked in the very beginning when they did the Bluefield site was they really started just building stuff without giving a whole lot of thought as to what it was going to look like down the road. So we wanted to rectify that a little bit and maybe get a decent layout for them. So you can see there's a bunch of stuff. This is the first building that we designed and that they're going to build this year. This will be the future church once they outgrow this. There's the basketball courts. There's a pastor, a parsonage, and some student housing again. There's a kitchen facility. And, well, that's mostly about it. I don't think they're going to do a swimming pool on this one, although we think they should, but. That swimming pool brings more people onto that church site than just about anything else. So it's a really cool outreach. So there's a model of the little building. That's Joel holding it. And there's our architect. She's designed almost all of these buildings that are out there. She was just out of school when she did that very first one in Nicaragua. So a great opportunity for her to, it was her first real project, and to see it get built for her, you know, she's done a bunch of things since, and they all ask her what her favorite project has ever been. And it's like, well, it's this little 7,000 square foot building in Nicaragua, you know. So that's the model that she made of the new one. And it's to scale, not to true scale, but it's, anyway, you can build it from the plans. Because we had to build that one from the plan. So you guys, I didn't see the hands. Who was thinking about going to Nicaragua for the construction? So here's town, and so this is one of my volunteers, just to give you a flavor for what it's like there. He's on his way into the downtown part of town to do a little research. There's our limo. I guarantee anybody that goes to Nicaragua is going to ride in the back of one of these. Those of you that have been there, you can defend me on that. We lost the bumper a couple times on that one, but we kept getting it back on. I don't know why. They just need to leave it off. Anyway.
It's a place to stand.
Yeah. You know, it rains a lot there. Like, we were at the end of the rainy season. I guess May, it's kind of starting back up again. So, you'll like the rain, actually. It's better than when it doesn't rain. It cools you off. Yeah, it's even though it's raining, it's hot. So, that's as far as the cab would take us. He said, all right, give me your money. as far as I go, that go down there, you'll see the you'll see the site. And we're like, okay. But typical street, there's one paved road going through town. There's maybe about 10 or 15 taxi cabs in town. And I'd say I saw maybe 4 or 5 privately owned vehicles, and that's about it for cars. So this is out at the church site. They actually make all their own CMU blocks. Yeah, I think for $12 a day, I can't remember the exact numbers. I think for $12 a day, they can make over 100 of these. That includes the guy standing there making them and all the materials. And so they've been at it for a while now. And they have quite a few piles of these blocks already piled up. They've got, here's some, that you can see some of those blocks next to the guardhouse there. They've got all this sand and rock and everything they need to mix concrete. So they're already amassing all the materials. And usually when EMI walks onto the site with this ministry, they say, okay, here's what we have. Can you make something out of all this? You know, the first time we went there, they had bought 25 windows. And they said, well, whatever you make, can you use these 25 windows? Oh, okay. So there's 25 windows in that first building we did. This is typical what working down there is like. The really cool thing about working down there is you get to work next to some of the locals that they'll hire. So one, I mean, the ministry is helping the community by hiring some labor. These guys wouldn't otherwise probably be working. They don't make very much, but it is income. And the other thing is you'll get to know the locals and you'll really have a big impression on their life because they're going to want to know why you're there. They're making $3 a day and they know you spend a lot more than that to get there. And it's a great opportunity to just minister to these guys and just share your faith with them. And almost all the guys in Bluefields that they had hired to work on that first church are now regular attendees of the church. And it's an amazing ministry from every angle. So this is digging the foundation of that one in Bluefields. Construction, it's not what you see here in the States. It just isn't. They're organized. They're ready to go. They got the materials. I mean, when you show up and you hit the ground, I mean, they're ready for you. They've hosted so many teams over the years. They've got it down to a science. They know what to do with a team when they get there. Unfortunately, there aren't a lot of resources as like tractors. There are no tractors. There are no real cement mixers. There are, you know, when you mix concrete there, you mix concrete by hand. When you need a ladder, you go get some driftwood and you nail one together, and it weighs about 800 pounds and then takes about 7 people to move it, but there's your ladder. So it's not typical construction. You're not going to see OSHA show up on your site and wonder why wire in the building, a little bit of electrical work going on there. This is the hardware store. One of the biggest, the only frustration for me when I was down there working on the building was whenever you needed something, like we ran out of PVC glue. Okay, well, we'll go down to the hardware store. Well, there it is on it's those purple cans back there on the thing. Like, I can just reach out and touch it. But I'm not kidding. It took Vital and I an hour to buy that little purple can of PVC glue. The pace of the people in Nicaragua is far slower than here. And they're more concerned about meeting you, knowing your name, what you do, where you're from. They really don't care about time. That's not their issue. And so even once you get the can in your hand, it'll take you a lot longer to go pay for it because the person that you give the money to wants to know where you're from. All that. So the frustration in Bluefields or anywhere in Nicaragua is getting the things you need that you didn't bring with you. Even though you can get it and it's right in front of you, purchasing it is a whole other story. This is one of the hardware stores there where just about everything that they built, that building there in Bluefields, came from. And
that was it.
Yeah, that was it. And so that's about the size of it, too. So if you break your hammer, you know, be prepared to spend about 2 hours going about half a mile away to a store that has one on the wall to buy it, which can be really frustrating unless you kind of have that mindset when you start out. But once you're on the site, the work there, I mean, you can work as many hours as you want. And I remember laying on a little bench there going, okay, I guess this is the end for me, Lord. I overdid it today. You know, every day it's amazing the amount of work that they'll put you through there. The good thing about these villages is about half of the kids, like when we were out there surveying the site, there was about 100 kids that showed up that wanted to help and work because they know what's coming and they're ready for it. And I'd say about 50% of those kids spoke enough English that you could talk to the kids and play with them and get them to help you and have fun with them. And so it's really cool to just be able to communicate with some of those kids. But yeah, if you knew any Spanish at all, it'd be much, much easier. Half the fun will be learning Spanish, though, while you're there, because everybody will be more than happy to try and teach you.
you know what phase of construction they'll be in?
Yeah, I don't really know. The same exact thing happened when we left. We literally gave the plans to the first crew that was coming. And they started, well, they started digging, like, the day we were out there, staking out where the building was going to go. There was a small high spot in the site, maybe 2 or 3 feet mound, you know. And there was about 200 kids out there with 5 wheelbarrows and some buckets and about 8 shovels. Oh. And those kids were literally moving the high spot of the site to the low spot. So, I mean, it's already started, and they'll work on it every day. And they'll have teams down there from, you know, from here until now until they get there. When I mentioned to Kat Lee about you guys coming, she said that's actually the timing that you guys had picked was good, because she said they didn't have a group yet volunteered for May. So, but I have no idea what stage they'll be in. I'm sure the foundation will probably be done. They may even have some of the exterior walls up. A lot of the work, maybe some of the interior stuff. Like when I was there to help build it, I know I framed up a bunch of walls, interior walls, which we framed them out of driftwood. So you get roughly a 2x4, but not quite, and it's driftwood, and so you can't nail a nail into it. You have to drill everywhere you want to put a nail. So you'll drill them all, and then you'll nail them together. It's a long, slow process, but it's how it's done in Nicaragua, because they don't have readily available wood like we have here to frame things up. So we'll see. I don't know what state they'll be at. They may be ready. I mean, when you go down there, it doesn't matter what your expertise is. The Lord will use you for something else. So be ready for that. I mean, when I was down there, I think I plumbed the septic system, I plumbed the bathroom, I poured a concrete floor in the bathroom, I framed some walls, and I wired the computer lab and the fans and ceiling lights, and I was there to put in a pool filtration system. So if that gives you any idea. So it's pretty cool that the ministry is so used to hosting these teams. I mean, they really know how to put you guys to work. They also know how to take care of you. I think we all got sick when we went to Hallover, but it was the only time I've been to Nicaragua where the particular ministry we're with wasn't actually taking care of us. And I think that's the reason we got sick. All the other times I've been there, that ministry that takes care of us, they know what it takes to keep us healthy, and they do a really good job of it. So you guys will eat really, really well. The food's actually really good. They have a cook there that you'll get to know and love. She's just this great woman, and she'll know what you like, and she'll have your whatever it is you like ready for you every day. And there's these people there. It's just amazing how well they serve you, and it's cool to just go down there and work with them. So yeah, you don't need to be skilled to be important here. You'll learn a new skill while you're there, that's for sure. We had a guy there who learned how to tile, and tiled about 2,000 feet of flooring. Oh, wow. And he did a fantastic job after learning from the locals on how to do it, and he helped those guys. The other thing is, you know, the locals will be working the whole time, and so you'll be helping them, and you'll be a big blessing to them.
So who's running from a construction standpoint?
Right, yeah, thanks for asking. So there is a team there right now, and they're going to be there through the end of May. So they'll be there while you're there. There's two guys from Pennsylvania. One's named Bill, one's named Jim. Both, you know, obviously Americans from Pennsylvania. They understand the plans. They understand how the things get built. They understand the supplies they need. They organize the teams. They get all the tasks made. They're basically the construction managers there on site. So it is somebody from the States that we'll be working with during construction, which is a huge help.
And you say they're pretty skilled foremen.
Yeah, one of them is a very skilled foreman. The other one's a very skilled organizer. So between the two, they're a pretty solid team. So they both speak good Spanish as well. And then you'll work with Kelly and Vital as well. Vital is one of those motivator guys, you know, like if you ever get tired, you just go stand about a foot away from him, and in about 15 minutes, you're ready to go another 8 hours. He's just one of those guys, you know. You can't be around the guy without just buzzing and going, okay, let's do it. Let's get it done, you know. And his wife is she's the brains behind it all. He's got all this vision and energy, and she makes it all come together. So they're a good team. Mm-hmm.